In this hour of Focus 580, we'll be exploring the field of alternative medicine, something that has certainly grown very, very significantly over the last decade, particularly if you look at the numbers of people who would say that either for wellness or for treatment of some condition or problem, you look at the number of people who said they have experimented with or tried or were interested in alternative medicine. I think now the figures are something like 70% of Americans who would say, yes, they had tried that. Our guest for the program this morning is Burton Goldberg. He has been doing writing and work in this field for quite a long time. He's publisher of Alternative Medicine Magazine, which is the leading consumer publication in the field. And he is also author of a book that has been published which is an updated edition of a book that he first published in 1993. The title is Alternative Medicine, The Definitive Guide, and it's the second edition of the book. It's published in paperback. It's a hefty book published by Celestial Arts, a division of the 10-Speed Press, and it is essentially a consumer's guide to alternative medicine, listing all kinds of conditions and problems and complaints and various treatments that people have found useful. So if it's something, if it's a subject that interests you, you might want to head out to the bookstore and to take a look at the book. And of course, here this morning as we talk, questions are welcome. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line that's good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, toll-free, 800-222-WILL. Mr. Goldberg, hello.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for talking with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
I think one of the things that interests me, I guess, is given the fact that now that there is a lot of interest in alternative medicine, and given the fact that now within mainstream medicine there is interest in alternative medicine and in some cases embracing of alternative medicine, then I think now the question is, well, what does alternative medicine mean now?
It's a very good question, because the term alternative medicine is a catch-all phrase for 50 different therapies: chiropractic, acupuncture, Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic, the medicine of traditional India, homeopathy, vitamins and minerals, massage therapy. In other words, 50 different therapies. And we explain what these therapies are, and everything in our book is said by physicians. And then we go into 200 of the worst health conditions: cancer, arthritis, back pain, children's ear infection, depression, mental illness, diabetes, asthma. And we tell how our doctors, who practice these various therapies, successfully reverse these conditions using the system of alternative medicine. And that's a very important factor, because it is no magic bullet. It's many causes of the disease, and the first thing they ask is, what caused it? What caused my headache? I'm not deficient in aspirin, yet aspirin can take away my pain. The doctor wants to know, is that person allergic? I'll never forget a young girl who, 21 years old, she'd been to 9 doctors in her life, migraines, couldn't figure it out. She opens my book, and it says, try bicarbonate of soda, things you buy for pennies in a supermarket. Put a teaspoon in warm water, and if it takes away your migraine, look to allergy. Well, she did, and within weeks after eliminating, she found chocolate was her culprit. No chocolate, no migraines. Mm-hmm. That's the world of alternative medicine. Go to the causes, remove the causes, feed the body, and allow your God-given immune system to kick in and heal.
Hmm. Well, that's an interesting example, because I just, you know, just recently here on our air, one of our talk shows, our afternoon show, the host talked with a physician who was a specialist in dealing with headache, and he'd written a book about it, and that's indeed one of the things that he talked about. He said, well, there are an awful lot of things that can trigger headache, a wide range of them, and that apparently is chocolate is one of the big ones. So he just ran down the list, and so it seems to me, and I don't think he would consider himself to be an alternative medicine doctor. He sounded to me like he was a pretty much a mainstream medicine doctor, And that was his advice. So I guess I'm wondering, you know, where is this line between quote unquote alternative and quote unquote mainstream?
Well, usually in mainstream medicine, they go to drugs to mask the symptom. Like for instance, if the headache is in front of the head, look to digestion. If it's in the back of the head, look to hormone imbalance. One of the big questions today is in hormone replacement therapy. You know, there's a big brouhaha. Mm-hmm. They just started a study of thousands of women because they were dying of ovarian cancer and heart disease and high blood pressure. And in my book, Alternative Medicine, The Definitive Guide, in the first edition, we now have the second edition. In the first edition, 10 years ago, we said that hormone replacement therapy, that Premarin, pregnant mare's urine, it's incredible for horses, bad for women. We said it was causing ovarian cancer and higher rates of heart disease and blood pressure, and yet for 10 years these people ran this test and they killed a lot of women. So it's really important to arm yourself with this information so you can protect yourself and know that you have options. If the doctor tells you that you have to live with the situation, somewhere in this book you will find treatments that could help you enormously and even give you a cure.
How many people, I wonder, particularly when we're talking about people who would say that they had used some sort of alternative medicine therapy or approach, how many people, particularly when confronted with a serious illness, are in a sense trying everything and anything and everything and may be indeed using a mainstream treatment? For example, if they have cancer, they're on chemotherapy. But in addition to that, they are perhaps on their own, perhaps with the consultation of the physician, using alternative methods as well.
I'm glad you brought up that subject because I had cancer last year. I'm 76 years old. I feel like I'm 30. I've been using alternative medicine now for 30 years. And that doesn't mean you're not going to come down with cancer, because in my opinion, it's not a question of will I, it's a question of when. There are too many toxins and poisons in our environment. And one of the major causes of cancer, believe this or not, is nuclear energy. There's an emanation from these plants called strontium-90. It's one of 20 toxins that emanate from the plant. You can't see it, smell it, or feel it. And it goes in the sky. The winds blow it downwind. The rain brings these toxins to the ground, strontium-90, which they measure in baby teeth. And then it goes into the bone marrow of our body, and it gets delivered through the grass, through the milk, through the water supply, through the crops. And in the body, it kills the bone marrow, and because it has an affinity to calcium. And one of the ways of testing it is using baby teeth, deciduous teeth. When baby's teeth fall out, it's easy. And any area that's within 100 miles of a nuclear plant has a higher rate of cancer. And most people don't know this. And in our book, The Definitive Guide, we have a chapter on cancer that's worth its price of the book alone. We have 33 categories of the causes of cancer, because you need to know the causes so you can remove them and then feed the body. Now, I had cancer of the bladder. It was discovered by an oncologist through an ultrasound. They thought it was the prostate, because when you come from above, it's either the bladder or the prostate. It turned out to be the bladder, and they wanted to do a biopsy, and I said, no, I don't want that needle going in, and it could spread the cancer. And it turned out that using our techniques of dark field microscope, where you can look in the blood and you can see disease coming early, and a device called electrodermal screening, where you hold an electrode in your hand, they use a stylus that checks your acupuncture points, and through resonance, quantum physics, you can see where the problem is and what products can help reverse that problem. So I did not go conventionally. I went alternatively, and in 3 months my cancer was gone. I was using Chinese herbs and enzymes and vitamins and minerals and diet and nutrition, and it works. And so in this book we tell you how the holistic physician treats even end-stage cancers using the system known as alternative medicine.
Maybe I should take this opportunity to introduce again the guest for the show. If you just tuned in last little bit here, we're speaking with Burton Goldberg, who is the publisher of Alternative Medicine Magazine, an important consumer publication in this field, somebody who for a couple of decades now has been writing about alternative medicine. Back in 1993, he published The Definitive Guide to Alternative Medicine, and now he's got a second edition of the book. It's been updated, and again, it's titled Alternative Medicine, The Definitive Guide. It is available in paper, published by Celestial Arts. It has a lot of information in it, and if you're interested in this subject area, you can seek out the book. And, of course, here, questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. As I mentioned, this is something that you have been interested in and writing about and talking about for a long time. How is it that you became interested in alternative medicine?
Oh, it was 30 years ago. My friend's daughter, at the age of 19, slit her wrist. She was the schizo, she was depressed, she had anxiety, and she was going to a psychiatrist, and frankly, being talked to death. And it was a holistic physician in California who discovered she was hypoglycemic. That's a blood sugar imbalance, mm-hmm. precursor to diabetes. And when he treated her with diet and nutrients, this young girl got well from mental illness, and I was blown away because I had no concept of medicine. I was a builder, developer, restaurateur. And I got interested in it, and it changed my life, and I start looking around, and I see there's a whole school that was being suppressed because they did things differently. They went to the causes, removed them, fed the body, and the body got well. And that goes for heart disease and cancer and arthritis and back pain. And so I started studying. I went to Germany and went to school with doctors and learned what they did and why they did. And about 1990, decided somebody had to do a book on it. So I hired a bunch of writers, and we assembled and put the entire school of alternative medicine under one roof for the first time. In the beginning of the book, the therapies, the 50 therapies, and in the back, 200 health conditions, and the book is interactive, and it's written for the layman so that if you're told by your doctor that there's nothing you can do, you got to live with the situation, don't believe them, because I'm here to tell you everything is reversible using this system. Now, if you have emphysema from smoking and you've taken beautiful lung tissue down to leather, we can't turn it back to beautiful lung tissue, but the doctors can make you breathe a little easier. But other than that, even end-stage cancers, arthritis, back pain, attention deficit for children, ear infections, everything. That's why the information in this book is vital, and particularly the diet and nutrition and our water, everything we take within our body, because this is one of the reasons we have so much illness and problems in our society. We're eating a lot of food that's denuded. Farmers throw chemicals at the crop, so the corn looks beautiful, but what's missing is one part per million of molybdenum, zinc, chromium, all the various trace elements that are really necessary, as well as vitamins and minerals. So it's essential today to supplement your diet with these good nutritional supplements.
We have a caller to talk with. Why don't we do that?
Yes, sir.
And this person is in Champaign on our line one. Hello.
Good morning. I'm Jan Jefferson, and I really haven't read your book, but I'm very interested in alternative medicine, and I'm also scientifically trained. My question is about MS and the role of stress. Can you speak to that? And I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say.
Yes, Jane. In the book, Alternative Medicine, the Definitive Guide, I have a chapter on multiple sclerosis. And just let me tell you a story about a woman from Wyoming who I happened to see in a clinic in Florida many years ago. She was a banker in the middle of Wyoming, and she had multiple sclerosis. She was 39 years old, and she was walking with a walker. And through the use of electric dermal screening that I just mentioned, they discovered that she was excessive in selenium. And it came, and after we tested her well water, we found out the well on her farm had excessive selenium. Now, most people are deficient in that trace element that's so important for our immune system. In her case, it was selenium. In other cases, it's mercury, and it can be other poisons or multiple poisons. It can be dental. The dental plays an enormous role in all disease. And you know the silver fillings they put in the mouth? Well, they leach 24 hours a day, and those silver fillings are 50% mercury. So not only does mercury come from your fillings, if you have these, and if you ever want to take them out, they have to be taken out properly. And in the book, we have a chapter on biologic dentistry. So from the multiple sclerosis chapter, we'll send you to diet and nutrition. We'll also send you to the dental chapter so that you know that there are doctors who can are able to reverse this. And I think you're going to find that that this patient can get a lot better and even get over multiple sclerosis. Stress does play a role. Usually stress is a precursor to the onset of multiple sclerosis. But this is a good example on how alternative medicine works. It's multiple. Getting rid of stress, getting balancing hormones, because hormones play an enormous role in the production of cortisol, which is produced by stress. The adrenal glands produce it and knock off the body. I think you'll find this book to be invaluable.
One of the things that I imagine might be on people's minds is when we talk about alternative medicine, there seems to be an awful lot of anecdotal evidence. And for example, in your case, you talked about your cancer and the treatment that you pursued and that it was successful. And we certainly wish you well and continued good health.
Thanks.
But I guess that there are some people might say the question would be, well, how many people tried the same therapy that you did and it didn't work? We don't know that.
David, that is a marvelous opening into how alternative medicine works. And what's the difference? When it comes to the emergency room and trauma, you can't beat mainstream medicine. They're the best. They sew you up. They take away your pain. They keep you alive. But David, we talked about multiple sclerosis. We talked about poisoning of the body. We talked about emotional stress. There's many, many factors. We talked about dental. In alternative medicine, the physician treats the patient rather than the symptom, because you and I can have multiple sclerosis, and my multiple sclerosis was caused by other things than what yours, or my cancer was caused by others. In conventional medicine, when they do the double-blind studies, which I think is immoral, somebody gets a sugar pill and the other guy gets whatever, that's one size shoe and one size bra fits all. Alternative medicine doesn't work like that. The doctor wants to know what caused that problem, remove the causes, get every insult to your immune system cleaned up, infections, viruses, bacteria, parasites, you see? And then you could be allergic, like we talked in headaches. Allergies could be a factor. So that's why the differences between conventional medicine and alternative medicine in degenerative disease is as different as the moon and the stars. We have a completely different approach. And let me tell you about medical schools, because medical schools, I don't believe, are functioning the way they should. And let me give you the proof. Johns Hopkins University did a study on the longevity of their graduate physicians. Guess how long you think their doctors lived, the average age? You have an idea, David?
The average for men here is in this country is, what is it, maybe around 70, late
72, 76.
Something like that. And I would probably guess, given the fact that they were in a high-stress profession and doctors maybe, physician heal thyself doesn't probably always work that well, I would bet that it was probably less than the national average for men in this country.
A tremendous amount less, almost 20% less, 60 years of age. And the Mahaffey Medical School had 58 years, the average, and when they put homicide and suicide, it came down to 54. So there's something rotten in Denmark in our medical education, and that's why I believe that this book and this information is so vital to stay alive in this very toxic world that we live in. Mm. Let me give you some ideas of what's going on in degenerative disease. In cancer alone, in the turn of the century, when my daddy was born, 1900, there were 3% of the U.S. population had cancer, men, women, or children. That's 1 in 33. Today, 1999, the American Cancer Society says that every other man in America will have cancer in their life, and 40% of the women. Breast cancer in 1950 was 1 in 20 women. In 1960, was down to 1 in 14. today it's 1 in 7, 1 in 8 women will have breast cancer, and no one's talking about it. We know it causes cancer. We know that the pesticides and the herbicides in our food supply, our heavy metals, the toxins in our water supply, nuclear energy, we have 33 categories of the causes of cancer. So that's the major differences in medicine and the difference in approaches. So we want you to know, even if you want to go conventionally on cancer, use a chemotherapy and radiation. By the way, David, there's something wrong with the picture when you use chemotherapy and your hair falls out and your teeth get bloody and loose and then you need to regurgitate. Something is violently wrong there. Our doctors don't do that. And I did another book on cancer, but the chapters are really put in. We have about 40 pages in the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, second edition on cancer. That's worth the price of the book alone.
I want to go back to, I have some callers. I want to go back to one other thing, and believe me, I'm not stumping here for the American Dental Association, but I know if there are any dentists listening, they will be tearing their hair out hearing what you say about the health risks of fillings. And I also know that the ADA, backed up by the Food and Drug Administration, the CDC, the U.S. Public Health Service, the National Institutes of Health, and the World Health Organization all say, you can stop, you've got other things to worry about. You can stop worrying about your fillings making you sick. What evidence is there that you have that there's some health threat posed by dental fillings?
All you need to do is take a device where you blow in a straw and that checks the mercury content in your breath, and each breath that you blow will show mercury leaching into your body. There's tremendous amount of research in Vancouver with animals and with humans. And listen, what makes you think that we know that mercury thermometers are bad today? They're trying to eliminate them because they go into the heat of when they try to dispose them, it goes up in the sky and causes all kinds of problems. But mercury is found in fish as well, and heavy metals are one of the major causes of degenerative disease. And we have proof through tests where they challenge the body with a drug called DMPS, and they check the urine, and they can see the spill of heavy mercury way above the normal. And not only mercury, but cadmium and lead. Heavy metals of all kinds are a major problem. Silver fillings are 50% mercury in the balance of other metals, and we know that it leaches from the body. And part of the process of reversing is getting rid of it and having it come out of the body.
Well, we have several calls here. In fact, the lines are full, so we'll get right back to talking with people who are listening. And again, I should introduce our guest. We're speaking with Burton Goldberg. He's the publisher of Alternative Health Magazine, which is a consumer publication addressing that very issue. He's also the author of a book that brings together a lot of information on alternative medicine, and the title is Alternative Medicine, The Definitive Guide. This is the second edition of the book. The first one he published in 1993.
That book sold 550,000 copies, and it was a hardcover book at $60 a pop. It's amazing, isn't it? Now it's a paperback at an affordable price. Even Costco has the book, so it's hit mainstream.
Okay, so it's out there in the bookstore if you want to look at it. Let's see what is on the mind here of some of the folks who are listening. And we've got somebody in Madison, Wisconsin, calling in here on our toll-free line, line 4. Hello?
Hello. I'd like to ask about whether eating meat is desirable or necessary. I know there's factors such as vitamin B12, and to prevent anemia. Some say that it's necessary to eat meat. Others say, well, it's possible to get by on a vegetarian diet and be just as healthy. And then there's problems, too, with the meat with pollutants in it and also mad cow disease. I'd like to ask you, Mr. Goldberg, do you personally eat meat, or what is your viewpoint or based on your knowledge and expertise on that?
Superb question. I do eat meat. In the weight loss and obesity chapter in this book, and also in diet and nutrition, it's true that meat has pesticides and herbicides coming in the feed of the animal, antibiotics that are given to the animals so that they can survive in filthy conditions, and the use of hormones to make the animals big and fat. Well, guess what happens to us when we consume them? Getting back to who can have meat and who couldn't have meat, We believe in metabolic typing, different strokes for different folks. For instance, you were born in China or India, it's not difficult for those people from those cultures to be on a vegetarian diet. You come from Scandinavia, where they had no vegetables during the winter, you'd have to have reindeer or some kind of meat. Number one, organically grown chicken and beef is the way to go. Range-grown beef and chicken. Organically grown vegetables, if you can afford it. But we know that in Israel, 1973, Hadassah Medical School discovers a relationship between female breast cancer and pesticides and herbicides. So the government does two things. They restrict the use of pesticides and herbicides in the feed of only milk cows and cattle. Alcohol, cigarette smoking, everything else remains the same. And they then do a 10-year study, 1976 to 1986. And here's the results. Women under 40, the female breast cancer rate plummets 34%. For all women in those years, it drops 8%, while we in the good old USA, for the identical 10 years, went up 4%. So we have an epidemic of degenerative disease, and part of it is due to the poisoning of our food supply. Clean water is very important as well. You must filter your shower water as well as your drinking water. You get 8 times more poison through the warmth of the water that opens up into your skin, the largest organ in the body, from shower and bathing than you do from drinking. So that's why this information is absolutely vital. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, partially. Well, then you favor, say, organically grown poultry or beef rather than, say, fish or...
It's very important that you watch your fish, that you don't have farm fish. The farm fish, they denuder the females so they become males and have more weight. And so they mess up the food supply of the farm fish. But it's like swordfish has a tremendous amount of mercury. And when mercury comes from industrial areas like Japan, the United States, where they throw it in the streams and they end up deep in the bottom of the ocean. A lot of tuna. I think it's the FDA now says pregnant women shouldn't be eating tuna, a tuna fish. And so these large fish that go out of the bottom of the water are usually heavier in mercury. And in this book, we have green light fish and red light fish and to help you figure that out. By the way, most freshwater fish is polluted.
Okay. May I ask about the mad cow disease? For example, in Wisconsin even, there's an outbreak of mad cow disease amongst the deer population, and they run wild, and therefore they're older than most of the cattle population is at the time it's slaughtered, and mad cow disease takes some time to show itself.
And you're so absolutely correct.
There is suspicion that there may be latent mad cow disease to a much greater extent in the cattle, which are fed commercial feed, as opposed to the wild deer here, which get very little, if any, commercial feed.
You're absolutely correct. We taught the Europeans how to feed animals to animals. In a study of... people with Alzheimer who have deceased, and they do autopsies, they found that 12 to 15% of the patients had mad cow's disease, that spongiform...
encephalopathy.
Encephalopathy. And we don't talk about it, but that's very true. On the other hand, if mad cow's disease was... you were not able to wipe out the cause of mad cow's disease... if you had vegetables on the same table or you had fish on the same table in a restaurant, we'd all come down with mad cow's disease. And remember, butchers are not dying from mad cow's disease. I don't know of very many butchers who have it. So there's a lot of questions out there. We don't have all the answers, but I hope I cleared some of it for you.
Yes, and where was this study about the 12 to 15%?
Pittsburgh. There was also one, I think, at Johns Hopkins University on it. And my website, alternativemedicine.com, type in mad cow's disease, see what comes up there.
We have some other calls. I hope the caller will forgive me for going on because we're getting into our close to our last 15 minutes on the show, and I want to get some other callers. And next up is Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Hi. I have a comment, which is I'm somebody who is interested in alternative medicine. I'm somebody who's used alternative medicine. But I am concerned that we need to be as skeptical of some of the claims made by practitioners of alternative medicine that as we are of claims made by people practicing traditional medicine. And I think the reason for this is the economics of medicine. I think there are people with a vested interest in selling us certain therapies, whether they're alternative therapies or therapies that come out of traditional Western medicine. For instance, pharmaceutical companies drive most of the research that produces new drug therapies for patients in our traditional Western medicine system. Now, on the other hand, there are companies that produce herbal supplements that are just as interested as those pharmaceutical companies in seeing research that shows their products in a good light.
I believe that this caller is absolutely correct. I believe that you must shop a doctor with as much caution as you would buying a used car. They all can't do what they say they can, and I think the caller is absolutely correct. Buyer beware. And that's one of the reasons why it's so important to have this book and understand what your options are, what to look for, because we give you what the Ayurveds would do, what the Chinese medicine doctors would do, what the acupuncturists would do, what the herbalists would do, what the homeopath would do. We give you very many roads to Rome on the various health conditions for the 200 health conditions in this book. But buyer beware.
Well, I want to make one more comment along those lines, because I think that's very valuable. For somebody who's interested in alternative medicine, which is such a diverse field, you need to know about what's different about all of these forms of medicine. But I want to make a statement, because you've said repeatedly that traditional Western medicine treats symptoms, not causes, and alternative medicine treats causes. And I think we need to be very careful before we make a statement like that.
Show me where I'm wrong.
Well, it's unclear that that practitioners of alternative medicine have any more understanding of what causes disease than practitioners of traditional Western medicine. In fact, I think in some cases they may have less information.
I don't agree with you.
Proof that the therapies work, that does not prove that the theories about why they work are correct.
We have devices and tests in alternative medicine that are ignored by conventional medicine.
Well, and vice versa, right?
No.
Well, I find that very hard to believe.
Well,
for instance,
acupuncture,
I know that acupuncture works from my own experience with it. However, the theory of qi is something that I think is not proved by the fact that the therapy works.
Well, there you're wrong, because the Koreans and Chinese, the Koreans and French have charted the qi through the meridian system. This is a river of energy that runs through the body, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, how do you measure that, and how do you observe it?
They used isotopes. And they observe that the river of energy does exist. After all, it's the basis of acupuncture, and it's been going on for over 5,000 years.
Well, I could invent another theory that describes acupuncture, and then could I prove that?
Sir, I'm giving you science. I'm not giving you inventions. The science is that they used isotopes in Korea and French and have proven that the qi system does exist.
Well, that's not an uncontroversial result.
Well, you don't agree with what I'm saying, but get the book and study it and take a look at it, and I think you'll find that there's science behind this.
Well, here I think we're witnessing a lack of skepticism.
It's, you know, we're going around in circles.
Well, maybe we'll say I appreciate the comments of the caller, and we'll go on to somebody else. So let's go to Belgium. This will be line number two.
Yes, I would like to point out that your expert here doesn't understand what quantum mechanics is all about, because when he states quantum mechanics dictates what diseases there are, he doesn't understand that it's really only a mathematical model that describes the atom. Thank you very much.
Okay. You want to comment on that at all, Mr. Goldberg?
No, I'd rather not. And what the reason we call quantum physics and our physicians use electrodermal screening, they're working on resonance, vibration. Just about everything has a resonance. And by putting the resonance of a drug or an herb into the field, or putting into a disease tissue into the field, one can ascertain what's going on inside the body. It's very difficult for most people to believe, but there's devices called electric dermal screening that can see disease coming early. And you don't depend on that alone. The alternative physicians vector in with conventional tests as well as blood tests and x-rays and CT scans and things along that. But by using dark field microscopy, where you see the blood, you can, and if you know what to look for under a different kind of light that conventional medicine doesn't pay no attention to, and then going to electrodermal screening, one can see disease coming early, and that's really the trick. Catch it before it happens, nip it in the bud, and use non-toxic substances to do it.
We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. Our guest is Burton Goldberg. He's publisher of Alternative Medicine Magazine and has been writing about, talking about alternative medicine now for a couple of decades. His new book is Alternative Medicine, The Definitive Guide. It is an update of a book that he first published almost 10 years ago that brings together between two covers a lot of information about alternative medicine. So if you're interested in exploring the territory, you can take a look at the book. It should be available in the bookstore. It's published by 10 Speed Press. And questions are welcome. We have some other folks here. We'll go next to caller in Champaign on line three. Hello.
Hello there.
Yes.
I'm afraid you have another skeptic on your hands here. Tell me about the isotope proving that she exists. I have no quarrel that she exists, but I don't understand how you could use isotopes to prove it.
Well, I didn't use it, but the scientists in Korea and in France have put isotopes in, and they trace it, and they can see the direction that it goes when it moves within the meridian system.
Now, of course, isotopes are just a different kind of atom. So
yeah, and they're visible through an X-ray or C-scan or some conventional technique of tracing the pathway so that they can chart the meridian system within the body.
But you don't know what kind of isotopes these are.
No. I'm a medical journalist just giving you the science as I've, the research that we've done. We're not scientists.
But you've done this.
No, I have not done it. Korean scientists, and these are French studies and Korean studies that I'm reciting. Okay.
This stuff's been published then?
No, it's published. They've done this, I think, was 15, 20 years ago.
But it was published back then?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You say it was published back 15 or 20 years ago?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been able to find it yet. Tell me about this breast cancer pesticide correlation. While I've been listening here, I've been looking on Medline and a couple others, and all I can find is that there may be some kind of a statistical relationship, but the authors, they hasten to say that there is no causal relationship that they can find.
Yeah, because we've spent $3 billion a year of our hard-earned tax money on this fight against cancer since Nixon in 1973 declared war. Mm-hmm. And we are no further in stopping cancer now than we were then.
I wouldn't say that.
Well,
we haven't made as much progress as we would like.
I'm sorry, we have made very little progress. The only progress we've made is on childhood leukemia. Other than that, we have a miserable study.
What about ovarian cancer?
Well, what about ovarian cancer?
Well, we didn't have Taxol 10 years ago. Taxol's got a dynamite record against ovarian cancer.
Okay.
They just actually put it into remission.
Well, if I asked everybody listening to this program if they know someone with cancer, most of us don't have enough fingers and hands to put up in the sky. It is an epidemic of high proportion where every year it gets worse and worse.
Oh, I know. I understand. All I'm doing is pointing out
what's causing it. And that's where we're at. We're saying our doctors go to the causes and feed the body, and our cancers start disappearing. Now, it depends on, does the patient want to get well, and does this patient want to comply with what's necessary, because each patient is handled differently. And not all doctors are good. And, you know, the caller said that you have to beware, and he's absolutely correct.
That's for sure.
But what I'm saying is we have options here, and you may not believe it, but open your mind and take a look at it and see what can be done, okay?
Oh, I think I've got pretty open-minded about this. I've used alternative medicine on my own. I've also used allopathic medicine. Sometimes one works, sometimes the others work. It sounds to me like you're making a wholesale condemnation of Western medicine. Is that right?
Well, when you see that the doctor's average age in Johns Hopkins University live to 60 and their patients live to 72 to 76, something's rotten in Denmark.
What is it?
Now listen, in conventional medicine, you can't beat the emergency room and trauma. They're the best. They do great heroic surgeries.
So why are these...
I'm going to tell you something else.
Sure.
90% of open-heart surgery is not necessary, according to the General Accounting Office of the U.S. government. 90% of angioplasty and open-heart surgery is not necessary. This is according to the General Accounting Office.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. Just tell me this, though. Why are the doctors, in your opinion, have these shorter lifespans? What's the cause for it?
Because they don't know how the body works, and they don't know how to detoxify, and they don't know how to feed the body.
But you said their patients live longer.
Yeah. Their patients are living to 72 to 76, and the average age of Johns Hopkins doctors is 60.
And the average patient is being treated by doctors such as those at Johns Hopkins.
Okay.
So why are the doctors...
That's your theory. My theory is that they...
It's not a theory, it's a question.
Listen, every single week of the year, we lose 5,000 of our loved ones. In hospitals only, this is a JAMA study. It just came out a year ago. 5,000 a week, half of them, 2,500, from the side effects of doctor-prescribed drugs, and the other half from doctor mistakes. 5,000, more than 9/11. And this is not my numbers, that's their numbers. And I'm saying that that shouldn't happen. In addition, we have secondary infections in hospitals. Can you imagine people walking into hospitals with their shoes on? You walk through dog stuff, cat stuff, lawns, and so forth. You walk into a hospital. No wonder we have secondary infections. Other cultures take their shoes off before they go in the hospital. There are devices to pull pathogens out of the hospital rooms up into the air, electronic phoresis devices, that we don't have in our hospitals, in the recovery rooms and the operating rooms and so forth, that we should have. So we have a mess. We have a high cost of medicine, higher than any other country, and we're not the healthiest country in the world. And we have obesity that is beyond anyone's wildest dreams. So all I'm saying is I have put forth the entire school of alternative medicine as we know it today. Everything is said by physicians who successfully reverse these conditions using the system of alternative medicine. And I don't want to argue this and that. If you're happy with the medicine you're getting, God bless you. But if the doctor tells you you have to live with it, and if you're not happy and you're not getting the results, know that there's option. That's all I'm saying.
We just have about 5 minutes left, and we have a number of other callers, more than I'm sure we can take, but I'd like to try to at least do one or two more. We have somebody here who's calling from a car phone, so let's try and get them. Line one. Hello.
Yeah, I just have a question about your book. Do you have, like the key study, do you have, if I were to get your book, could I follow up on the studies?
Yeah, in the back of the book are 35 pages of endnotes giving you what research we know of at the time. So, yes, you can do that. We also have a website, alternativemedicine.com, where on the front page, home page, we have you have all my philosophy and my, what I call them, provocative essays. And, of course, you can type in health conditions and stuff will come up for you. But what we have is a unique form of the yellow pages of alternative medicine, where by typing in a health condition that you want to solve and your zip code, up will come a bunch of doctors that you can choose from.
Yeah, okay. References. Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Southern Illinois for someone else here on our line four. Hello.
Hi. I want to thank you for having this important program, and I agree with what this man is saying. I have been healthy all my life because I've not taken any medications, and I follow a good diet and exercise. And I've watched my mother die this summer for 2 months, and she was on so many medications, they would give her another medication just to cover the symptoms that one medication would cause. I really wish people would understand the simplicity of how our earth is and the plants that were put here, and I really appreciate WILL for having Mr. Goldberg on. Thank you.
Okay, very good.
God bless you. I think it's very important to understand that we have to pay attention to our environment and to the planet. We're destroying it, and we must watch everything that comes into our mouths and our children's mouth. The reason at 76 I do this work is my children will not, and I have four grandkids, will not have the life I lived. We must wake up and clean the planet and understand why we have this disease and nip it in the bud.
We're coming down here to the point where we have maybe about 2 minutes left. Is there some thought or information you'd like to leave with folks while we, before we end up out of time?
I think we need to eat range-grown chicken and beef, organically grown vegetables if we can afford it. We must purify our water. Our water and we must stop the poisons coming in our body. And we must take nutritional supplements. Our food supply is just denuded and doesn't have enough. And just about everything is reversible using the system of alternative medicine. Can I give an 800 number if people want to call? And,
sure.
Yeah, my 800 number for the book or our magazine, which is on the newsstand, or if you have to, you want to ask a question, is 800-333-HEAL, H-E-A-L, for those that are driving, or 800-333-4325. And my magazine is called Alternative Medicine Magazine. It's in Barnes & Noble and Borders and Whole Foods and Wild Oats. And we're just, we want you to know that there are options out there that you don't have to live with problems.
Well, we want to say thanks very much for giving us some of your time today. We appreciate it.
God bless you and everyone out there.
Our guest this morning, Burton Goldberg. Again, he's the publisher of Alternative Medicine Magazine, so you can seek that out. He also does have the website if you have internet access, which is alternativemedicine.com. And then the book that we've talked about, if you'd like to look at it, should be available out in bookstores now. It's titled Alternative Medicine, The Definitive Guide. It's a great big paperback book. It's published by Celestial Arts, which is a division of 10 Speed Press.